This Mishnah is very problematic, Mishnah. And it's been problematic for a long time. It's not a new problem, it's a very old problem. And therefore, it makes it just a bit easier for us, is that if we feel we have some difficulty, we'll know that we're not the first ones. But it's still difficult. Rav Tzadok Oimer. Rav Tzadok tells us, we're talking about Limud HaTorah. That's the subject of the last Mishnah. Some gear says these two Mishnayos are like one. Al ta'ase HaTorah le'skadol b'hem. Don't make Torah a crown on your head to bring you greatness, to bring you glory. V'le'kardoim lachbo b'hem. And don't use it as a hoe to dig with. V'kach hayahol hilal oimer. And similarly, and along the same lines of thought, Hill taught us the ishtamish betaga chalaf. The ishtamish is those who use taga, means a keser, a crown. Chalaf, there are different protim exactly what that means. Either cholef ma'olam, that's equivalent of misen. That's not so great. Or halaf means that he is misusing. He's being machlif dover ledover. He's being machlif, it's using something outside of its proper use. Olamalis, what do you learn from this all? Kol anena medivrei Torah, anybody who's nena from divrei Torah, noitel chayev min olam habo. We managed to read the words. Well, if we start learning the Mishnah, especially like we learned in the last Mishnah, that you have to learn Amanas Lasais. If we would learn this Mishnah, Amanas Lasais, well, then there's a lot of things that have to be rethought. Again, it's a lot of trouble. The simple reading of the Mishnah, and the Rambam learns that way, la'aloha, in passages like that in Yad HaChazakah, is that a person is not allowed to have any advantage. Not allowed. Not monetarily, and not honor from Torah. No covet, no money. The Rambam himself was a doctor, and he, all of his rabbonis, all of his greatness as the leader of the generation, all of his greatness in Torah, that had nothing to do with not panosa, not kofet. His status, he tried to make, I don't know how successfully, but he tried to make himself the status of a doctor. And the Torah is like something that's not to do with the public. That's his, when a light shines like a sun, and everybody gets warmth and light, like the Rambam, it's like kind of hard to hide. There's a good lador, he was. But Becholifin, that was the Rambam Shita. And to the degree that it was possible, he's very, very machma. Very, very machma. Not allowed to take money for learning. There are gemaras that they bring of different tanoim that were mekayim this sheet in this way, which are noyer. Reb Tarfon was a very, very wealthy man. And he once was taken by some thieves. And they were going to throw him in the river. It's not such a good situation to get thrown in the river. It's kind of dangerous. So especially if getting thrown in by fishes. And came out of his mouth a word about, he said something about, look what's happening to Tarfon. And these themes, chak, with Tarfon telling them? Ah, the Tarfon. That they weren't planning to start out with, and they let him go. So he was mitztayer kol chayav. Said he was miskabit v'teir. They're going to kill him. Doesn't want to be nana. Financially, there was a time of Rebbe, there was a drought. And people didn't have parnosa. And Rebbe was a very big oisher. And he wanted to support all the Talmud Chachamim of the door. Anybody who learned Torah, on any level, from the lowest level, at least the Bali Mikrin up. But Amaratzim, he didn't want to support. So every person who came in had to show his credentials. What do you, a Bali Mikra, a Bali Mishnah, a Bali Talmud? Yeah, you have to make some claim that you, and then you would get supported. One of his Talmidim came in, and on all the questions he was asked, he said, no, don't know Mikra, don't know Mishnah, nothing. So Rebbe said, how should I support you? So he said, support me like the Rebbeinu Shem supports dogs and birds. They didn't learn Torah either. They're a creature that exists in the world. Rebbeinu Shem supports them. I'm also a creature, support me. So he gave him. When he left, he was very mitzvah. Rebbe, I was Mahana and I'm Oretz. Farnes and I'm Oretz. Rebbe Shita is that I'm Ratzim. All the Torahs of the world come from them. And it's very strong language, according to Yeshiva. We don't know exactly understand what it's all about. Very strong language. It says you can kill him on Yom Kippur. Chesnisht, I don't know what it means. But B'chol Eifin, they're not our friends. We don't have to support them. That was Rebbe Shita. You don't have to support Amaratzim. So one of the people there says, maybe this was this Talmud. And he didn't want to be Nenu Minatari. So they checked up afterwards and found out that indeed was the case. So Rebbe said and made an announcement that anybody can go. The rules are finished. If there's one Talmud Chochem who's not going to get Parnosa because he don't want to be Nenu, I'd rather be in front of everybody. So that, what was his taina, this Talmud? Rebbe was Makabalit. That if you're making that you're not being mefarnes amaratzim, so then you mefarnes the Talmid Chachamim because the Talmid Chachamim. So then it'll be nana metaya. So he didn't want. So that's where Rebbe said, okay, you're right. So you have to mefarnes everybody in that way. I can mefarnes the Talmid Chachamim without being nana metaya. These are Gemaras, these are Chazalin, which would fit with the Rambam's shot, with the simple reading of the Mishnah, but would have a problem. It does away with the whole Kollel system. It does away with the whole rabbinical system. It does away with most of the Gedolei HaDor for the last 2,000 years. It's a bit of a problem. We would really be in bad shape if we would be the only ones who had this problem. Because then we'd have to come to the conclusion that maybe we're really wrong. And if we'd be really wrong, so maybe we have to make some changes. Just because everybody does it, it's not a hetter. G'daylim v'toyvim. By the hundreds and by the thousands, the tens of generations, weren't Mekayim the Rambam's chat. So, what are we going to do with the Mishnah? And what is the chat? So all of the Rishonim say that there is such a chat. There is such an ideal. There is such a level. There is such an approach. But Halacha L'maisa, they paskin that only very special individuals are able to go down that path. And we're talking about people like the Beis Yosef, the Tor writes in the Tor in Hilchos Shabbos one place, Hagavurcha, he talks about the fact that he has to be supported. He doesn't have enough money to learn, and he's being supported. Yeah. I mean, the Tor took money. So it's the Tor took, I guess it's okay. You know, we're not worse than, you know. Whatever he's going to do with the Mishnah, we're going to do with the Mishnah too. But so as far as, you know, it's my coil check I'm not worried about right now, right? But I got to learn the Mishnah. That's one of the answers. That's support. Yaakov Kamenetsky said that the problem of our generation and the greatness of our generation is because there's only Torah Lishma. So what's the Torah Lishma? Coil check. That's Shalosh. COVID, the way they treat rabbis nowadays. It's just Torah Lishma. That's all there is. Some truth to it.
There is.
Yeah, quite a bit.
Somebody once said to me, the fact that anybody is learning Torah today is absolutely incredible.
Incredible. Yeah, amazing. Yeah. I mean, there's probably nobody sitting in this room who doesn't have somebody in his not so distant relatives, friends, family thing that, like, find every opportunity to grind and, like, you know, why are you sitting and learning it? What about responsibilities? You know, and grind, you're all kinds of nice words and animals that they call us. And what? Well, then you're the exception. There's an exception to every rule. But, like, and then there are the Amoratsim that have learned, know how to throw this mission at you. Ha, you see? Then you really, it's a problem. And they know the Rambam, then you're really in trouble. So it depends where they know the Rambam from. If they know there's two Rambams, there's a Rambam here in the Pirush and the Rambam on this Mishnah, and there's a Rambam in the Hilchos, Talmud Torah. So Rambam Hilchos Talmud Torah, they printed very nicely the Kesef Mishnah that was written by the Shulchan Aruch, by the Baal Shulchan Aruch, right there on the side. And he has a very big section, well beyond the normal size of the sections on the Rambam, that it goes to explain that that's the Rambam Shita La'in Alokha Kamoise. So if they know the Rambam, tell them to read the Kesef Mishnah. If they know this Mishnah, so tell them to read all the Mephoshim. Because every single Mephoshim Paul, except for the Rambam, go through a lot of difficulty. A lot of difficulty. Because Emes, that is the Pashup Shana Mishnah. It is. But it's not the Alokha. But it is the Pashup Shana Mishnah. So one way out, and not satisfying, but one way is that Pirkei Avos, Gemara says in Bava Kamma, that Pirkei Avos is Milsa de Chassidus. So this is not written as the way it has to be as Halacha. This is written as how to go the higher path. But in Echanami, we have to know the Yerida Sadeus and where we're holding. And according to us, that's what the Rishonim are writing, write these things. Talking about people that were in the time of the Rambam, in the time of Gerish Sfad, talking about not yesterday, a long time ago. 800 years ago, 500 years ago, it's not a new subject. Faisal has been painting through the subject for many years. It's a difficult subject, it's a painful subject, because there is truth to that chat. There is truth. And it's the Pashup Shana Mishnah. But to say it's, well, just we'll upgrade it, say that's up from Milsa Chassidus, and that's up there, and we're down here, and that's the end of it, it's not sufficient. It's not sufficient. Again, we're not talking here Lamaisa. Lamaisa were covered by the Tor, and by the Shulchan Aruch, and by the Maharal, and by every Poisik that wrote on the subject, right? Both by their Maisim, and by their what their writings. Don't worry about it. Right? We're covered. Well covered. If we were doing in a halachic discussion, so maybe we should make it be kedai, you know, just in case. there's oodles and oodles of truths on it. There's lots of ink that was poured on the subject. So halacha l'maaseh, we don't have to worry about it. We're in good hands. What we have to be concerned with is what's Pshat in the Mishnah. That's what we're learning. We're trying to learn Pshat in the Mishnah. And as our rule has been from the beginning of Pirkei Avos, we're trying Lilma Mas Lasleis. So it's just to upgrade the Mishnah, and undo with me, from the Raman up. Right? It's only from the Raman up that this applies to. As far as I'm concerned, this Mishnah could just as well not exist. We can't accept that.
So what are we going to do?
Especially when you have lines like Kolenene v'divei Torah noitel chayiv me'olam habo. It's hard to say, well, that's just a milsa chasidus. As one of my Rebbeim once said so strongly, says, getting to Olam Haba is not the milsa de chasidus. It's an absolute requirement. If you don't make it to Olam Haba, you haven't done anything. And if this mission is saying that there's a possibility of losing your chai Olam Haba, well, then you've lost everything. That's no milsa de chasidus. Again, Pashup Shad exists. There is such a concept. We would be very fortunate and happy if we once met somebody who lived that way and succeeded at it. But we have to know for Roiva Fly, so like 99.9%, we've got to have a Pshat in the Mishnah. We've got to know what the Mishnah is teaching us. Can we go on to next mission?
Yeah.
Okay. Next mission. Okay. I'll do the video.
And this will be like the backwards question. Most of Chai Yisrael doesn't deal with this mission. Most of Chai Yisrael is always going, they learned a lot, my impression has been, they learned a lot, but they were, what they put us into. A few people, the really big community coming there, those don't do so much on this mission.
Yes, in other words, you have two choices. Either be a Balabas or be a Rambam. So 90% of all of the Rabbonim to Minichachomim of the last 200 generations, you want to throw out the window. You're going to have to put the Shulchan Aruch in the tour, and Chosid Yaivitz. It's a long list. Rishonim, you know, tour and Shulchan Aruch.
But isn't it? It's Shaya because fine. So fine, you can take a call check and survive. But don't be one of these guys who go, ah, I'm wrong. You know, put it, you know, and you stamp in the letterhead. I did the year there for his own Rabbi Weiss, you know. And then you can't sit there and say, well, let me see if I can get the job that makes the most money to really want that problem. You could do it. It means move to know. You could, you know, in other words, it is shy for us, it's fine. You don't have to starve to death, but don't use the code and don't use it for anyone.
Excellent. Okay, that's very good. One exception. There were, through the generations, very rich gedolim, starting from Tarfon and down. You're not. There's no rule that a Talmud Chacham has to be poor. It's just like the Gemara says, "Lo yichulom zoichin l'shtei shulchanos." Not everybody is zoicha to have both Torah and a shivus. But there's nothing wrong with it if it happens. Maybe a little dangerous nesoyin, and that's why the Baruchim doesn't dish it out so often. It's a very dangerous thing. So, the person that has the two, you can end up with one. and not the Torah. Right. Very dangerous Nesachim. Shteishu Chonis. But there's nothing ikroni wrong with that. What you mean to say, what you said. And that for sure is what we got to know from this Mishnah. Is the Mishnah is teaching us some very important yesoid concept of what Torah's role is in the world. Let's go through it step by step. But maybe just as an introduction. The Rishonim already bring as proof that there is another side to the issue. And we're not just Nebuch degrading things now. From a whole list, starting from Yisachar, who was supported by Zvulun. That's getting pretty early. You can't get much earlier than that. And the Rishonim explained that if Esav would have been what Yisachar thought he was, then that was supposed to be the arrangement between Esav and Yitzchak. And then you have Tanoim, Shimon Achai Azariah, beginning of Kodshim. He was called Achai Azariah because Azariah supported him. And so forth down, they bring a whole list of these things. As you see, that's not a new concept of B'yevit, because of the terrible things that's happened, we have to do something that's not right. There are things like that, that you have to do something that's not right. But you see, no, you can't say that in Yisachar and Zvulun. They got very nice brachas, Yisachar and Zvulun, both from Yaakov Avinu and Moshe Rabbeinu. There was nothing wrong. There was nothing b'dievid about that. So clearly, and this is what you said, is that there has to be practically what it comes down to, although it's not the source of the point, it could be differences, but the normal practical difference is that survival is not the problem. Because im ein kemach, the Mishnah, im ein kemach, ein Torah, im ein Torah, ein kemach. So as much as the Torah is a necessary part to bring the kemach, that there should be Torah, well then the Torah is not ending up by the kemach. The Torah is used to get kemach, and therefore there can be Torah. So as much parnasa as one needs, even if you're getting it from the Torah, in order to be able to be that ben Torah, to be that Talmud Chacham, that's lechatchila.
Is it according to Rambam here and not in
No, and the Rambam and the Chassam Torah is the same shita. That's his shita. His shita is that, and Vadai, there were a lot of Tanoim like that. Hill was an edge chopper, and Rabbi Yochanan Sandler was a sandler. Right? And the Rambam was a doctor. No, they had an even higher way. What's the pshat? But the rule, that's what I'm saying. The rule is, what is needed for your Torah? So then where is the end? The end is the Torah. The end is not. So now it depends who you are. If you can be Rabbi Yochanan Sandler and still be a Sandler, then you don't have to take money for being Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. You can be a Sandler. But if a person, if he wouldn't take money and would have to go become a Sandler, instead of becoming a Yochanan Sandler, he would become Joe Blow Sandler. No Talmud Chacham. Well, then you're giving up the Torah. You're not supporting yourself by the Torah. You're giving away the Torah. Hey, now.
So even if it's wrong.
Yeah. But the Rambam Shita is that you can do this. This is something that if you decide to take upon yourself, you can do. The one thing that remains, lo halacha, from the Rambam, is that there are rare circumstances, and lately they're getting less rare, right, where a person nowadays doesn't really have the right, generally, to choose to do like the Rambam. He would be considered a big balgaiva to do that. Who do you think you are? Take your coil check and Dreyenschenkopf. Don't be such a big ball guy. But there are times when they don't ask you. And when Shemayim, they set you up for it. You had no choice. And you become a situation where you'll get support, not where you were intended. You wanted to get support from Torah, but nobody wanted to support you. And then you found some way that you had to get parnosinat from Torah, and you became one like this. You have to be given permission by being forced into it, minei shamayim almost, to live that way. If not, you come out the balgai. But there are such people that exist. It can happen. Usually it happens because they were forced into it. Once they were forced into it, then they realize, well, I guess minei shamayim, they're showing me that I can do it, so then I got to do it. What's that? Once a week. We got to do it. But the general rule, the principle, we're learning Mishnayos, so learning the principle. The principle is very, very important. And what's best about it is that once we get into the level of principles, it's negated for every Jew. Even somebody who's got a, you know, 8-hour job. There's a principle here, and that's what's important. And the practicality of the principle can apply to the lowest to the highest. The principle, first we'll talk about the principle on the higher level, and then maybe we'll see if we can bring it down to the practical level. Higher level. We've learned, I don't know how many times, the special relationship between Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh. The interrelationship of Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, and that everything in Olam Hazeh, everything, is there, was created only and solely to be a means and a ways of how to get to Olam Haba. So the intrinsic close kesher between Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, something that we've learned many a time. Here we have something that goes outside of those rules. Torah min ha-shamayim. Torah is really not shayach to Olam Hazeh. Torah is a metzias of Olam Haba. Even though there happened the most fascinating nis of all nisim that ever existed, that something was taken totally outside of its natural status, and Torah was brought down into Olam Hazeh, that doesn't mean it was turned into part of Olam Hazeh. It did not take out a passport in Olam Hazeh. The Torah in itself remains B'Kodesh HaKadoshim, remains B'Oron HaKodesh, and even in Olam Hazeh, that it exists as a strange. The warning of this Mishnah is do not turn Torah into Olam Hazeh. Torah has to remain pure. We were given the right to get Olam Haba, a bit of Olam Haba early. You don't really, Torah is Olam Haba. We spoke about this, I think, once. I brought you. There's a Sifri. It says that really Torah is Shayach Olam Haba. So why was Torah given to Olam Hazeh? So that when we get there, we'll know what subjects have been talked about, know which Masechta we're in. In the Torah Be'etzem, in its Etzem Metzias, like the Apostle says, Aruch Meretz Mida, Rechov Min Yom, it's bigger than the whole world, how you want to put it into the world. And really, it's unfathomable b'chlal how Torah can exist in Olam Hazeh. And that is the chiddush in the neis of Matan Torah, that Torah can exist in Olam Hazeh. But the Mishnah is warning us in all of the statements of the Mishnah, one after the other, that Torah exists in Olam Hazeh as an ambassador of Olam Haba that was implanted in Olam Hazeh to help, it's not that it should take up as a chutin olam hazeh, but to give us, it's like what you have, you have an American embassy in Israel, so that the Israelis can go get visas there. So the Torah is the Rebbein Shem's ambassador from Olam Habo down in Olam Hazeh, where we can pick up our visas to Olam Habo. But if you take the ambassador of a foreign country and you tell him, well, you're an Argentinian? We don't like Argentinians over here. If you want to stay here, you got to take out a British passport. I mean, that's the most horrible insult that there could be. And that's only if it's Argentine and Britain. Which really isn't much difference than Argentina and Britain at all. I'm really not sure who's better. But turning Olam Haba into Olam Hazeh, taking Torah and making it part of Olam Hazeh, is taking the Neshama and making it Guf, is taking Kedusha and making it Chol. If a person takes something much lower level than Kedusha than Torah, like a korban, and you use it for chol, the chayiv mis, nobody has any problem with that. That's all, everybody understands. Chal Shabbos, Kedusha Shabbos, chayiv mis, nobody has a problem with that. Because you understand that Kodesh must remain Kodesh. And something that is Kodesh can never, beware, don't make it chol. Don't make it into Olam Hazeh. So Torah, which is the Kodesh HaKadoshim, is the Olam Haba itself. Although there was Matan Torah, and it is given to us in Olam Hazeh, for the purpose that we should learn it, don't use it for Olam Hazeh. Right. It's a big difference. World of difference. It'll make a difference in Kavona. It'll make a difference in perspective. It'll make a difference in a lot of Maisim. You have to have clearly defined, whenever you're going to Torah, what your goals are. You got to make it clearly defined. What is your means and what is your ends? So that's clearly the wording of the Mishnah. And the Mishnah uses some very strong language in order that we shouldn't miss the point. Right? There would be a lot of ways to say, don't take money for learning. Right? There's a lot of panoses in the world. Right? Making a Torah into a hole that you dig into the ground with, I mean, that's like such a muscle of completely lowering it down, and you can't think of, take a Sefer Torah and dig a hole with it. You can't even say such words. You have to, you just hear such words, you got to make a tinyus. There's no difference between the Sefer Torah of the Torah Shebiksav in the Hegel and the Torah Shebaal Peh. Believe what you shall Yisrael. Take it and dig a hole with it. You can't give it a little more. A little example. You want to tell me don't take money for Torah? You have to say don't make it a hole to dig in the mud. So the Mishnah is trying to clarify this idea clearly. And I didn't skip the first part. We'll go back to it. Clearly, that the idea is, don't take the Torah and stick it in the mud. Olam Hazeh is Adama. Right. Hoeing the Adama, Olam Hazeh, is the way Panosah is developed. The Yesod of Panosah, the source of all Panosah, the classical Panosah, is Bezeh Zepecha Teich Alechem. This hoeing the ground means that's the concept of using Olam Hazeh for panos. That's kosher. Using Olam Hazeh for his panos is kosher. Right? But don't your vehicle, what are you doing, you know? How do you hoe your field? Don't use the Torah to hoe your field. If we would say in modern way, don't turn your Torah into a bank account. Don't turn your car into an automobile. Don't turn the Torah into just a vehicle of Olam Hazeh, not even the ends of Olam Hazeh. Just a vehicle in order to produce the Olam Hazeh that you want. The first part of the Mishnah, Al ta'asim atogo lihisgadalva. So here, there's a complicated issue. There's an issue that Talmidei Chachamim have halachas that you have to be mechabed them. And what makes life even more difficult is they have halachas that if somebody wants to mechabed Talmud Chacham, because he's a Talmud Chacham, the Talmud Chacham is not allowed to not allow him to. Because it's Kovod HaTorah. And the Rebbeinu in a place speaks out with such strength. And he says that could be all of the Torah in the world stands in Kovod Chachamim. Because the way it is that the masses, the youth, the growing people, will emulate that is respected. If you're in a society that people that are strong-armed and good in war are given pashut kovod, yeah? Well, then all of the little people are going to try to be big in that.
For the sake of getting word?
No. Because a person, especially smaller people, mistaking glory for a definition of what's good. Everybody wants to be good. Everybody wants to be shaykh to that thing in the world that's good. But to sit down and figure out what's good, right, then you have to be a bigger person for that. Generally in the world, if everybody holds to something, it must be good. It can be ugliness. It can be disgusting. It can be a jazz star. Mm-hmm. That's great. I want to emulate that. What's great about it? Can you tell me one thing great about it? In one aspect, in anything? No. Nobody even pretended they could. They can use words, oh, such a great man. Because 40,000 people go through these terrible tortures and pay so much money to do nothing. It's a great man. What did he do? Nothing. What's he worth? Nothing. What's he made out of? Nothing. So where did this hold? Because they honor him.
Well,
sports people. What? How did the mistake happen in the first place? Not necessarily. What makes the greatness of an athlete? Yeah. So he hit the ball further than the next guy. That's amazing. That's something unreal. Harnessed all of the heightness of human character to nothing. That's the point. That's exactly the point. Exactly. He hit it right on the nail. That's exactly the point. A person who's going to be a top-notch athlete, I don't know a jazz star, I'm not so sure about it, but a top-notch athlete, okay, has to really work hard. He has to make sacrifices. He has to have willpower. He has to use some of the highest qualities of the human capabilities. The ultimate degradation, I don't know which word to use, chilul, of taking the quality of man for nothingness, for zero, for shtiyot. That's the ultimate chilul of Kodesh. The Torah here is telling us, the Mishnah here is telling us the higher level, that's the lower level, human capabilities. The higher level is the Torah itself. The level that the Mishnah is dealing with is above that. A person like the Rambam and those who go into those issues are the people who all of their goals are Olam Habo. And now they only have a discussion about how do you make it through Olam Hazeh. The main kemach in Torah. You gotta support the kids. You have to support your goof. That exists. So then there are different shitas, different approaches. But the main subject of the Mishnah is, the Mishnah says clear. How foolish this. Don't take Torah for a goal of money and ends of money and covenant. The Talmud Chochem, who needs support in order to survive, has not made the Torah the means and the ends, and the money the ends. His Torah is the ends, and the money is the means. Even if he has to, in order to support that end and meet cycle, get the money for the Torah itself. The Shoyim ask a steer from this Mishnah to the Yesoid, as La'olam Yasuk Olam, Tevi Mitzvah Shleilishma Shtok Shleilishma Bolashma. If I'm not allowed to get money or covet for Torah and Mitzvahs, then what does it mean that I should be Isaac and Tevi Mitzvah Shleilishma? That's a good one. Start attachment. There's all kinds of different roots of exactly the getter. The aside hadover is that shaloi l'shmo doesn't mean l'shem olam hazeh. It means that when the yetzer hara bothers you, when your motivation level drops, for whatever reason, you can enhance, just like let's take, you know, classical shaloi l'shmo. An example is the child who would really be out playing in the ball game, and you want him to sit and learn. In order to get him to do so, you promise him presents, you promise him money, you promise him a tiyul. Alright. Say it, we'll go learn. What does that mean? That now he's learning in order to go on the teal? Anybody thinks that shouldn't deal with kids? No. Now he's learning. But he had a problem in his motivation levels. Because he wants to learn. But he also wants to play. And right now he wanted to play more than he wanted to learn. Because playing is fun, learning is hard. So in order to change the balance of the motivation level in the other direction, so you use Lo Lishmo. Like the words of the Chazal is, that the end, goals, that's not the discussion. Lo Oilem Yasek Oidem B'Toyo Mitzvah Shel Lo Lishmo, because the goal, M'Toyk Shel Lo Lishmo, Yovel Lo Lishmo. Rabbi, the goal is clear, the goal is Lishmo. This Mishnah is referring to the person who wants to be honored. And now, he makes a seker. How do you get honor? So he looked around and shulk. You know, I did this when I was a kid. There's a lawyer there, there's a politician, there's a doctor. And let's see who makes more money. Let's see who gets more honor. And if a person happens to come to the conclusion, you know who does the best? Rabbi. We don't know that musik anymore. because it doesn't really exist. Not money, not in COVID. And it very rarely exists. But if Lo Yitzor, somebody would see that the way to make it in Olam Hazeh, in terms of COVID or money, is through the Torah. But the goal is not Torah and using Shelo Lishma to assist his motivation levels. His goal is Olam Hazeh. So the Chazal bring it the marshal, Olam Hazeh is like the Gevirta, it's like the princess, Olam Abo. Olam Hazeh is like the Shivcha, it's like the servant. So the worst tsar of the world is when the princess has to serve like a slave her handmaid. To take the Torah and degrade it to be a means for the ends of Olam Hazeh, that is the ultimate Chilul HaKodesh. And that's what the mission is telling us. That's the insight of the mission. When you're dealing with Torah, you gotta have your goals clear. You got to have a clear understanding that Torah belongs in Olam Haba, came from Olam Haba, and goes back only to Olam Haba. It really has no business being here b'chla. It was a special schus, the Klai Yisrael was zeicha, that Torah should be brought to Olam Hazeh to assist us in making the process of being over from Olam Hazeh to Olam Haba, from turning Olam Hazeh into Olam Haba. But that's all. It's here, B'tafkid. And that's exactly why in the Sefer Torah. A Sefer Torah, everybody knows that this is why Klai Yisrael is noyik. A Sefer Torah you don't have lying around. We don't have them in our houses. You don't keep them in your room. You keep them in the Beis Knesses, in the Aron HaKodesh. They're not part of our life. It's above us. It's away. B'tafkid. When the right process of using the Sefer Torah, when it's time for Kriyas HaTorah, then with the proper Hakdomas and the proper Mahalkim, you take the Aron out and you bring it into the Makaz of Knesset Yisrael, of the Klal Yisrael in the Beis Knesset. But the Rishonim talk, Chazal already talk, that when you take the Sefer Torah out of the Aron HaKodesh, your person is supposed to look at it like when you, the Shekhinah is coming down now. There's got to be an awe. Torah Shebiktav is kept that way befoil. Torah Shebaal Peh is closer to us than Torah Shebaal Peh, than Torah Shebiktav. Torah Shebiktav remained in the words of Hashem. Torah Shebaal Peh is Dvar Hashem in our words, through our means, through our heart and mind. So it's closer to us. You can't put the Torah Shebaal Peh in Aron HaKodesh the way that we take a Sefer Torah and put it in Aron HaKodesh. There's no Mishnah that has to tell you, don't take a Sefer Torah and dig a hole with it. No such, you don't need that. Because a Sefer Torah by Klal Yisrael is clear, it's in Aron HaKodesh. It only goes out from the Aron HaKodesh L'Tzoyach, the Tafkid. But from that moshul we have to understand that's what Torah Shebaal Peh is also. But we were given a right for even a closer relationship to Torah Shebaal Peh. So we can make a mistake. A person, many people, have Olam Haba goals, but they also have Olam Hazeh goals. A little of this, a little of that, a little of this, a little of that. One day this way, one day that way. And you carry the Torah around with you. The person who has Torah has it even on his low day. So he can make a mistake. On his day when money, on the day when honor, those goals come to the front, he's in terrible danger. You can degrade the Torah, take it out of its Aron HaKodesh that it's in when a person learns Torah, and turn it into a means to achieve his goals of Olam Hazeh, of money and cover. On that the Mishnah says, Kol anene b'divrei Torah no ito chayav min Olam Hapo. It's exact words. What'd you do? You took the Metzias of Olam Hapo, which is Torah, and you're turning it into a shifcha of Olam Hazeh, your goals of Olam Hazeh, of money and cover. So that's what happens. That's what you did, that's what happens. Mida kenegin mida. Your Olam Hapo is also going to be turned into Olam Hazeh, chas v'shalom. Instead of your Olam Hazeh turning into Olam Haba, this is extremely dangerous. If you turn Olam Haba, the Rebbein Shem's ambassador, the Torah, the ambassador of Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh, the Torah, if you turn it into Olam Hazeh, well, that's what your Chedek and Olam Haba is going to happen to it. That's exactly the words, exactly, to the letter. Noitel Chayov in Olam Haba. There's a lot of ways it says you're finished, you're going to die, you're going to get punished terribly. This is an exact language. It's fitting directly bullseye on what we're talking about. A person who takes Torah and turns it into Olam Hazeh, well then his Olam Haba will be turned into Olam Hazeh. That's not a good idea. We're not that rich in Olam Haba. We have to keep whatever we have safe and sound. Yeah. We leave the Olam Haba, you know. Whatever we were saying, call you Soliation on Chelek Olam Haba. Baruch Hashem, it's Hashem, we'll also have our Chelek. Don't turn it into Olam Hazeh. That's the worst thing that you can do to me. That's the worst thing you can do to me. Take my Chelek Olam Haba and turn it into money. Right? Make me rich as Rockefeller, but if it's coming out of my Olam Haba, you've killed me, you've destroyed me. You've given me the worst ultimate punishment that could be. That's what the Torah is teaching us. This Mishnah is teaching us, listen, yes, there's an intrinsic close relationship to Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, but there's exceptions. There are things in this world that are above all that. There are such things that are only Olam Haba. They're only Olam Haba. They're pure. And they're here only as visitors. They're only here at B'Tafkit. Just like the Sefer Torah is only to be found when it's being used. Torah is here in the world for it to be learned, to prepare for Olam Haba, for it to teach us how to live. Derech lumoid lamed lishma v'lasos, like we learned in the last week. That's what the Torah, that's the only thing the Torah is here for. As long as a person has clear his goals, when he goes to the Torah, he goes to the years of COVID, he's opening up the Aron HaKodesh of Olam Haba. And here it is, it's right in front of us here. When a person, G'dolim, if you ever see the way they took a Gemara off the shelf, it's with a tremendous year and also a tremendous avu. They're taking a piece of Olam Haba off the shelf. You don't even know how to hold it exactly. I'm holding Olam Haba in my hands. I'm talking about Olam Haba. What are you going to do with Olam Hazeh? Each one according to his mahala, each one according to his matrega, each one according to his situation. The one tonight that goes across the board, it's for everybody. But on no condition can Torah, can Olam Haba be turned into a means for the end of the world. In any way. In any way. It's not. All right, I'll tell you what, I will explain. In short, an extremely common problem that we have nowadays, very, very common, is that we have women who don't respect their husbands. And to some degree, the wives are at fault, to some degree. Because even at the given situations, there are there is room for more respect. But the emes is that a woman who doesn't respect her husband, it's because that she's on a level that she recognizes a higher quality of respect. She recognizes higher quality. Her husband is great, but she recognizes more than that. And she recognized that her husband could be more. So what did the Adam Gordon told her? Instead of fighting with it, realize that this is an indication, and your wife is the best proof, because they know the truth, that you're capable of more. So do more. You'll be more chosher. You'll see she'll be happy. He didn't tell her to learn all day. Well, all day is more chosher than 2 hours. But you see, when you get the right formula, everybody will be happy. If she'll start learning 18 hours a day, she'll also complain. And she'll be right then too. Maybe. Right? For that one person. But he was learning just a half hour a day. And even then, there were certain days when he lost it. And then now, he's learning the 2 hours of the day. So in real truth, is he more valuable? Is he a higher level? Yes. So his wife will reflect it. They know the truth. They reflect the reality. So if you hear a husband say, my wife doesn't respect me, the probability is that at least there's some element, and usually the major portion, that the man isn't living up to his capabilities. And the wife is sensitive to it, even if she doesn't know how to put it into words. Even if she puts it into the wrong words. It's very possible that that wife didn't come and say, why aren't you learning another 2 hours a day? She had all kinds of fluky ideas what he should be doing to be chosher. Okay? He didn't tell her to do that. He said, ain't covered el Torah. So if a covered lovely, that Torah is the mitzvahs of covered. And when a person learns Torah, he becomes a reality of covered. And he will receive covered. And it gets to the point that he's not allowed to even deny it. Because it's not his covered. It's the covered of Torah. But it's not the covered of Torah in the Aron HaKodesh. It's the covered of Torah in him that he created through his learning. It's not him, but it's not him. Okay. So, in the end, they get the chov. Torah brings chov. That's the most perfect example of the proper use of using Torah, and there could be similar examples harder to understand of money also. But chov, it's easier to understand. When a person is shafel, when a person is lowly, and not lowly relative to somebody else, that's not lowly. A person who's at his right level, when we are, Ramchal says in a place, that if a person, we have a goof, malachim don't have a goof. Right? So we're on a lower level than a malach. But we're not shafel because of that. It doesn't make us lowly. It doesn't make us shuffle, I don't know how to translate shuffle properly. It doesn't have the negative aspect of being low. Because you're where you're supposed to be. But when a person is not shuffle, it is not where he's supposed to be. He's shuffle. Right? So usually the first one is going to pick up on it in his wife. And she may not express it right. And she might not understand what the problem is. And she may have her own wrong ideas of what should be done about it. But if she's not respecting him, there's a good possibility, it has to be checked out, there's a good possibility that there's a bas kol coming out of the Bina Yaseya of this Isha that her husband is not up to par. His own par. So the Talmud Chacham that God gave him the most perfect answer there is. Ain't covered el Torah. That if you need a person suffering from a lack of real covered in him, need an infusion of covered, vitamin covered, right? That's Torah. Ain't covered el Torah. So he told him to take one of those. 2 hours and you'll see everything will be fine. It works. It works. Good? You want to say something? You had a question?
You answered part.
Yes.
But the other half.
The other
half. Are we talking only about conservative and reformed rabbis?
No.
Okay.
Can hit home. Talk about me. Talk about you. Talk about any of us. Let's hear from you. But anyway.
That's what I was thinking. It's amazing. You go to museums and we're horrified at the Nazis. I'm sure how they took Toshinik Saab, made footpins. We do this with Toshinik out there all the time ourselves.
We don't.
No, we're not so aware of it. We're not so aware of it.
Maybe we don't.
Maybe we don't. Okay, so I'm going to put a collar on us. I didn't mean to do that. The Mishnah is telling us to be aware.
Don't do it.
What am I learning from this mission? I have to learn something from this mission. The mission is telling me that I have to be sure that I don't.
You want to mekayim this mission properly? Okay. I'll remember Pastama to the day I die. I saw a Rav Huderman take a Gemara out of the shelf. He did that hundreds of times. Thousands, I don't know how many. Okay. But I saw it once. I saw it many times. The one time I saw what I saw. My eyes were open. Right? It was certainly nothing less than when in a big shul, they take the Sefer Torah out by Kol Nidre. I was afraid he was going to drop it. He didn't know how he was going to hold it exactly. Right? I'm taking a Gemara. We're talking about somebody who was 82 years old or something. It wasn't the first time he took a Gemara off the shelf. But you know what Torah is? Here. Yeah. I can take it off the shelf, I can hold it, I can open, I can read, I can learn it. You know? A person has covered of Torah, of covered, ain't covered of Torah, by the Mabo, there's no way he can turn that into Torah. No way.
Ever. Find this
when
turning it into Mabo.
If a person sees Torah as a Chochmah, I'll give you la'avdil elef of dollars. La'avdil elef of dollars. Chochma v'goyim time. Let's take a refined quality chochma like refuah. It wasn't that long ago that the majority of the people that entered medical school, maybe, I don't know how many years, but not that long ago, that the majority at least had a 50% qualitative, moral desire to do good. And that's why they went to medical school. Yeah, you get good money, and it's covered. Did not deny it, that always existed. Right? But the reason they went to medical school is because they want to be in a position to help people. Right? Nowadays, so I was told, they took in one of the big medical schools in the States. They took a poll with like 30 questions in it. No names. People said the truth. And they were astounded to find out that 96% of the people were answered. And it was a lot. And it was a couple hundred. Right? The medical students there either said that the moral aspect is the lowest part of their interest or didn't exist at all. And the motivation is money, power, and honor. And as soon as they can find out a different way of doing it, they'll do it, they'll drop it. If they'll find a better way of doing it, they can just switch and become a politician or something, they'll drop it. It's scary, because I wouldn't want to go to these doctors.
Was it already like that in the 50s?
I don't know. Look at that. About. Yeah, we meet up with these people sometimes, and it's a Suffolk where they have a dinner with a doctor, in which case you don't have a right to go. It's a problem. It could be more dangerous than it's healthy to go to such people. It's a problem when you're allowed to go to such a person. And if you can't, then who do you go to? And that's not a problem. Okay, but the same thing is in Torah. The same thing is in Torah. We're on a higher level, it's more refined. But there are, besides the conservative reform rabbi, besides them, which that's just maybe an ultimate picture, not just, it's closer to us. It's closer, I've met these people. No. No, I haven't met any Rosh Yeshivas that had $80,000 a year. Oh yeah, that's the ultimate success. I feel that the way to do it is in the positive. Is in the positive. If we'll clarify to ourselves, if we'll relate to Torah with its covered and its megia, relate to the Sforim, to the Sofrim, to the Tamil Chachomim, the Malamdim, including Malamdim Dardiki, but the Malamed Torah, they deserve, they are Shaykh to Torah, give covered to Torah. If a person will relate to Torah, not as just another honorable thing in the world, it's not in the world Bechlal, it's in our book. It's something that Shaykh to Torah Mabo. When the world, let's take the diplomatic world, when the ambassador of a country comes in, he gets the honor, we don't care what his first name is. We couldn't care less what his name is. Right? We want to know what the country is that sent him. Okay? So too, when a Talmud Chacham walks into the room, it's not his first name or his nose that we're honoring. Right? But the Aron HaKodesh of a Sefer Torah, of Torah Sheba'al Peh, is the Talmud Chacham. So he joins the Torah as the ambassador of Olam Habo and Olam Hazeh. If we relate that way, if we work on the positive, to the degree that a person is mechabev Torah v'lomdeho, then he can't do this even if he wants to. You can't degrade Torah b'poel until you've degraded Torah in your hashkofa. There are people, even Lomdei Torah, I've met them on rare occasions, even quite respectably learned people, who are Shoyim Gemurim, because their real goals, and they even say so when you're not looking, when they're not looking, their goals are Olam Hazeh, and they cold-bloodedly will use the powers that the Rebbe Shlomo gave them, including their knowledge and their brains, and their capabilities of learning Torah, to produce their demyonis of Olam Hazeh. They're not highly successful. You know. If Olam Hazeh, there are better ways. But I've met these people. I've met such people. It's terrible. It's one of the most horrible things they ever see. Most horrible thing ever to say. Any time that we lose sight of what Torah is, we lose the proper respect for Torah, then the road is so open that it's almost unavoidable that we're going to try to use it for our benefit. We're going to try to get along because I have a beard. Not because that's, you know. Use the fact that you're. Yeah, the storekeepers know that Haredi checks are better. Because 99 out of 100 Haredi checks don't go back. Or whatever it is compared to the other. I've heard this from many storekeepers. The same storekeeper up the time scale. But the same storekeeper, when you're going into a store, and you can get advantage from the packs that you're a Haredi Jew, don't do it. Don't do it. Leave that for Olam HaBa. Don't do it. I'm saying that there are practical ways of doing this on every level. Yeah. Don't try to get advantage because you missed it. Be like everybody else. Stand in line. Stand in line.